Blog Talk Radio.
Kyrie Bill, welcome to the Jasari's Love Show. My name is Isaiah. I have the privilege of introducing the host. You know her. She's my favorite person. Will you please join me in welcoming my grandmother, Mama Jahi?
Well, thank you so much, Isaiah. Boy, that was done in such a loving manner. I really appreciate that. And I want to thank all of our listeners out there for tuning in to the Jasari's Love Show. This is the first night for this particular show, which I'll be doing every Friday night at 9 p.m. It's all about love. I would like for you to take a few minutes to do your tweeting and Facebooking and emailing folks to let them know I'm on the line. And tonight I'm talking about L-O-V-E. L-O-V-E. This is all a part of the show, Home-Based Business 101, but I have a different platform for this evening and for all of my Friday evenings because it's going to be It's All About Love. And I was so thankful to hear my grandson to introduce me in such a loving manner. We have such a wonderful, loving relationship, and I really cherish that relationship. Just like I cherish the relationship I have with nature, with my husband of 25 years, with my mother, my father who's now no longer with us on the physical, but always with me in the spiritual, my siblings, four brothers, one sister, and those people that I come in contact with. Doesn't always work out the way we want it to, but it's all about love. That's what it's all about. Here's a quote from Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., which I think is a timely quote when you think about this is February, Black History Month. We just got through celebrating Reverend Martin Luther King's birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday in January. And we're also in the month of love. February is Valentine's Day for those people who celebrate that. This is nice. It's fun. It's a nice little loving thing to do. Don't know all of the background behind Valentine's Day, but I do enjoy that aspect of it. Here is the quote. In a real sense, all life is interrelated. All men are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. I'm going to cover a variety of aspects of love tonight as I kind of kick off my It's All About Love series. And my name, Jasari, means audacious. And, of course, I put the word love with it because on a day-to-day basis, I want to be more loving. Am I always that way? No. But I'm always making an effort to get better and better at that and be conscious of it and conscientious of what I need to do to be better at that. There are songs that talk about it, such as What the World Needs Now is Love by Dionne Warwick and Burt Bacharach. Those of us who are from back in the day, we just used to stay up at night waiting for Dionne Warwick and Burt Bacharach to come out and sing that song. That is my theme song for my life. The only one before it was, To Be Strong. There's another song out about being strong. Only the Strong Survive by Wilson Pickett. Yeah. I think that may have come out before that. I'm not totally sure. I'll have to check on that. And, of course, I always love Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. By Aretha Franklin. I'll send much love out to Sister Aretha. She wasn't feeling too well. We definitely want to send out some love. Another song that has a lot of meaning to me is Imagine by John Lennon. I also enjoy hearing that song sung by Tracy Spencer. She sings it really nicely at a program. I believe she was on some type of award show. You can catch it on YouTube. It's absolutely wonderful the way this young lady sang that song, I believe, back in the 80s. But, you know, we have these songs, and as I observed Dionne Warwick singing that song, I began to realize as I went through YouTube that A lot of people have that as a theme song. And a lot of people really want the concept of love to come back into our lives. I'm reading where more and more people just want us all to just stop and be more loving. I'm not really talking about the kind of love that we're really talking about for Valentine's Day between two, eye-struck lovers. You know, their hearts are pumping, and, you know, and every time they see each other, they both get warm all over and perspire, which is a fun kind of love. It's wonderful, and it's timeless. You can feel that way at, I felt that way probably at 7. I felt that way at 12, felt that way at 15, 22, in my 30s, in my 40s, and I'm now in my 50s. Hey, and I'm still feeling that. It's a wonderful feeling. Every time my husband comes to the room, I have that feeling. Listening to his voice the other night, it was like, I like that deep voice. It sounds so good. So it's a good feeling. But also, the love of just mankind, humanity, the love that Dr. Martin Luther King talked about, the love that Muhammad Gandhi talked about, the love that Mother Teresa went around the world expressing. The love that Princess Diana shared, the love of Harriet Tubman going back so many times, countless times, to get hundreds of more people from out of slavery. That's the kind of love that I'm talking about. This is a good time to talk about love. Encourage people to be more loving, to describe and explain what love is and how to be more loving as humans on this planet. Humans on the planet. We need to think about that. Are we being more loving? Can we be more loving as humans on the planet? You know, sometimes we just carelessly just, you know, walk around. You know, we walk through somebody's beautiful flower garden, trampling through it, not even noticing that someone took their time to put those flowers down very lovingly. Or maybe it's just nature. Maybe nature just laid a beautiful flower bed out for us, and we just go trampling through it, not even paying attention, not even stopping to smell the roses or the tulips. Or whatever kind of flower it is. I've gotten to the point where I look at flowers, I'm just amazed at how the Creator has given us so many shapes and colors and sizes and smells. It is amazing. Have you taken the time to just look at flowers? You have some flowers that are pink, trimmed in blue. Then you got the same flower, another flower with blue trimmed in pink. It literally blows my mind. Some of them have spiked edges. Some of them have little curved edges or curled up at the edge or fuzzy on the edge. And then you have some flowers with like a multitude of colors. You just have some flowers that just come in an array, almost every color you can think of. And then, of course, man has dibbed and dabbed and cross, you know, breeded some of these flowers. Because you can have a rose in almost any color you want. Oh, now they've even got black roses. I don't know if that was ever natural or not. But you've got your red roses, your yellow roses, your white roses, your pink roses. It just goes on and on. And they're just absolutely breathtaking. If you take the time to stop and smell the flowers, smell the roses, and look at them, and just take a moment. You know, the thing is so interesting about flowers and a blade of grass and a leaf on a bush or a tree is that if you are so blessed and fortunate to live where you get to see these things for free, then we need not take it for granted. Take a moment and stop and look at it. If you need to, leave a little earlier for wherever you have to go so you have more time as you're walking through the communities and neighborhoods to actually look in people's yards and see the beautiful flowers that they may have. Or as you're walking through a park, we have to actually create time to stop and smell and see, sometimes feel, the roses and the flowers. And it's kind of a weird thing with me because I'm not all that crazy about somebody giving me cut flowers. I'll cut them every now and then if I have a lot in my backyard. But I kind of like seeing them on the bush or the area where the flowers are supposed to be, as opposed to just in a ditch somewhere. But that's me. That's just my particular way that I feel. I just enjoy just seeing them in their natural state. But everybody has their taste as to what they like. But the main thing is just the appreciation of the most important thing, which we sometimes think is the most minute thing, and that is nature. Just taking a moment to just breathe in the air and appreciating that in a loving manner. Just appreciating that the Creator, in whatever name you choose to call the Creator, your Creator, I say Mother, Father of Creation. That's me. That's my choice. That's my Kuji Chakalir, the way that I want to name something. And that, I do that because everything is male-female, so I feel as though there must have been a male-female involved in the situation of creation, but that's just the way that I see it. And so it's just this idea of loving creation, loving that I was created, loving that through a relationship my daughter was created, loving that my grandson was created, loving that my husband was created, loving the people that were a part of creating me, my mother and father and the physical, and my brothers and my sisters. And then there are all these other relationships, aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, and they actually do mean something, and I'm going to go into detail about that on one of my other calls. What is it to have a loving family relationship? So this is kind of a kickoff for love, loving self, loving nature, loving other human beings, loving other living creatures on this planet, not being so hostile, even though some things will scare the living wits out of you. I mean, there are a couple of spiders that I must admit I kind of back off, you know. I'm not kind of like, you know, they're kind of scary looking. They may be harmless, and those people who kind of study spiders would know more than I do. I remember one day sitting on the backyard of a friend, I should say acquaintance's house, and this gentleman has a museum in his yard somewhere in Baltimore in the Windsor Mill area, and I cannot think of the name of the museum, but we were sitting out there with our summer campers from the Rockner Heights Summer Camp, Movements Unlimited Summer Camp, the Rockner Heights Culture Center, and there were these spiders all over his yard, and I had to get out. They were daddy long legs. He assured us, me and the other 15 people that were there, which were children ages 7 through about 14 or 15, that those spiders were totally harmless. But I wasn't prepared for that. I had not calmed myself to the understanding of nature to just be calm and be at one with these spiders. And to be honest with you, I'm just getting there, to be honest with you. That is just what the daddy long leg. Now, I don't know about these other ones because, you know, I saw that the guy was pretty at home with these spiders. But that's just one thing. And I noticed that I'm kind of choicey, like butterflies and things like that and moths. Oh, they're so pretty. I like them. And I like looking at the bee from a distance and the yellow jacket from a distance. And, you know, your praying mantis, I don't mind them too much. But then if it gets a little bit creepy looking, you know, I'm kind of not fair. I kind of treat those bugs differently if they don't look like I think they should look. So I kind of back off. Yes, a few have lost their way around me, you know, scooted them out of the house or what have you. But I'm kind of trying to reach deep down inside and try to figure out, you know, can I react to these bugs differently? I don't know. I know I can't do the fear factor thing. I'm telling you that right now. That's not happening. But it's just, you know, a curiosity. Can I do that? You know, and that's something to think about, to kind of be aware of why are we going around stomping other things that live on the planet? You know, should we let them live? Or what is our relationship with them? I mean, they say that flies bring germs. So if you're eating something, you don't want it landing on your food, so you end up swatting it. Is there another way to react to the fly? Is there another way to react to the mosquito? I don't know, but that's part of my journey, and I'm trying to learn about that as I learn and encourage people to think about this thing called love. The love of creatures and things. Now, I'm not going that far to say that I want a house full of bugs. I don't want any, really any bugs in my house, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not that comfortable with them at all. I'm not there. But I do know that there are people who live with bugs all the time. I'm not talking about a house full of roaches. Oh, yuck. I'm talking about, you know, living in nature, and nature's right there, like an avatar kind of thing. You know, they were living right up in the trees with nature, close themselves in type of in a pod, and were quite at home with nature. And there are people now who live in the Brazil, Amazon, and different parts of Africa who are living comfortably with nature and all sorts of places on the planet. They're even right here in America who are living a little bit more in tune with nature. But, you know, it takes time to get there. We have to allow ourselves to get there instead of living in the boxes that we're living that separate us from nature. And it also separates us from natural fresh air and the sun and some other things that we need to think about. You know, when you're in school or at work all day, how you're not in natural fresh air. Your air has been filtered, and then it's been changed because you're breathing so much air that has so much more carbon monoxide in it, you know, because of the fact that it's not going back out of a window. So, you know, it's something to think about. I think about that quite often, and how that molds us as opposed to a person who lives outdoors 90% of the time. If you're indoors 90% of the time, what is that? How is it affecting you and your body? And how does that affect how you feel about other people, the planet, and love? So there's a lot of different things that this is going to be covering. All men are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. When I think of love, I think about Frederick Douglass. He had to see some harshness, some cruelty, and even had to live it. But at the same time, he managed to remain a loving, caring person. I'm going to take a moment for a station break before I go any further. I just want to recognize that we're on Home-Based Business 101, founded by Sita Wujahi. And we just want everyone to know that this is a great time for securing yourself in so many different ways. This show is the Jasari's Love Show, and it's all about love. Being at peace, being at harmony, treating people decently, male-female relationships, as well as all relationships, interfamily relationships, and boy, they can be the hardest ones. If you want to have more discussion on this here, you can contact me at my email address until I set up my Facebook the way that I want it, and that would be jasarislove at movementsunlimited.com. The main concept behind the show is just to kind of be another person out here saying, hey, why aren't we more loving? Hey, the truth of the matter is what the world needs now is love. Hey, how about imagining more love? Just imagine if we just had more love, if we treated each other in a more loving way. That would be just great. And some people kind of laughed at that idea of imagine. And that's part of the problem. You see, the challenge really is to imagine things that could be differently. And that takes some work in the brain to allow yourself to think outside of what is right now. What I personally do is I manifest, create spaces that I find to be loving and peaceful places and spaces for myself mentally, as well as emotionally, as well as physically. As I plan where I live at, I pick and choose as peaceful a place as I possibly can. I can't control everything. You can't control some nutty outside, you know, intruder, but you can kind of observe where you're moving your body and where you're planting your belongings. So that's something that's really important for people to think about, if you can. And sometimes it's controlled by your economy. What can you afford? Can you afford to live someplace that is peaceful? And what is peaceful and loving for you? Some people are perfectly comfortable in a crowded environment, and they all do well there. I found that that doesn't work for me. It works for me to be in a crowded or a place where there's a lot of activity going on at a specific time for a specific purpose, and I can be in a humongous crowd of people doing something so long as it's organized type activity. But once I actually call myself going to what I call home, I feel much more in control and much more calmer and much more happier, much more that I'm in a loving environment when it's not too crowded and when it's kind of quiet, unless I happen to be the one with the music going up, which may not be that loving to the other, to another person, but I do keep that in mind. I do keep that in mind. So that's, those type of things I love too, you know, whether your music is playing loud, are you offending someone else? Is that a very loving thing to do? So it's a lot of different ways to look at this thing called love. But I was getting ready to talk to you about Frederick Douglass and, you know, how he had to deal with being treated in a very unloving manner. And I'm not going to have the time really to read it like I wanted to, but I'll go more into it next week. But the main thing was, you know, he had became up to the realization that he was close to becoming no longer a human, but a brute himself. He was losing his humanity by the way that he was being treated. And that's something that we have to really think about. We've really got to think about that, how important it is to make sure that everyone on the planet keeps their humanity, because it's dangerous if you have people who are losing their humanity, their ability to think like a human being and feel like a human being because they're not being treated like a human being. And that includes children, the elderly, anything and everyone that we come across, but especially I'm talking about people. So that's very, very important. So I'll be reading some of that out of his book next week, which is My Bondage and My Freedom. Because it's important to know about that, you know. So it's important. Here's one here where he, I have an extraordinary personal heart usage toward myself to complain of against him, but I have seen him tie up the lame and maimed woman and whip her in a manner most brutal and shocking. And then with blood-chilling blasphemy, he would quote the passage of Scripture. That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So some people even justify why they're not treating you in a loving manner. Master would keep this lacerated woman tied up by her wrists to a bolt in the joist 3, 4, and 5 hours at a time. He would tie her up early in the morning, whip her with a cow's skin before breakfast, leave her tied up, go to his store, and returning to his dinner, repeat his castigation, laying on the rugged lash on flesh already made raw by repeated blows. He seemed desirous to get the poor girl out of existence, or at any rate, off his hands. That's page 201, Barbarous Treatment of Henny. And that's just, once you see what not treating a person in a loving way is, you kind of can begin to kind of say, whoa, you know, there's got to be another way. And that's what I want us to think about. So I'm going to be sharing with you some things from Frederick Douglass, Dr. Martin Luther King, George Washington Carver, because, you know, when you're working with plants and with God's soil, the Creator's soil, you're working in love. And just wanted everybody to kind of keep that in mind when you think about love. This really today is my first day. I am not a love expert. I am not, this is not going to be about sex and love. This is going to be about humanity and treating people decently. Just keep this in mind. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. We have mountains and hillsides enough to climb. We have rivers and oceans enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another valley. There are valleys and wheat farms enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone. And as you think about this, as I close out, I want you to change your thinking and begin to imagine how different it would be to have a world where we have more love, people caring for people. And we have to keep in mind that love and caring means exactly that. If what you're doing to someone, they don't see it as a loving thing, then it may not be loving, because it has to be a cooperative situation. It has to be harmonious. The person has to willingly be able to accept that. So you have to think about it so we don't have a sick kind of love, because some people think that, but I loved you. I was trying to show you love, you know. And some people don't get that. Stepping on your foot for an hour is not going to show you love. But you know, when I see a man or a woman taking a child by the hand when they're crossing a busy street, or when they're walking through the streets, it's loving to see that, instead of seeing a 2 or 3 year old trailing behind trying to keep up with a parent who's like a block or half a block away on a busy street. And I'll name a street that we all can recognize. Anywhere in the United States of America, there's a Martin Luther King Boulevard, which is probably pretty busy, probably in the inner cities. And we need to really get back into taking the time and reach back and get that child's hand and show some love. Love is when we get on our public buses, is kind of, you know, not pushing and shoving, maybe allowing the little old lady or the older man to get up, the pregnant woman, the one with the baby or the bags. Love is helping the children on the bus, making sure they don't go falling down the aisle, instead of yelling down the aisle at them. Being a little bit concerned. I know, you know, we want to toughen them up a little bit, but, you know, we are borderline insanity. It doesn't hurt to take someone by the hand, a younger child, and guide them safely. So as I come to a close, I usually would end with our theme song, but I really want everyone to imagine, as by John Lennon, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Just think about peace and calmness, serenity, consideration, respect, cooperation, and harmony with everything and everyone on the planet. Even your dog, even your cat, you don't have to yell at it and kick it to say that you're the boss. How about showing it some love? The elderly, the young, men to men, women to women, we can be complimentary without being overboard, just courteous. It's all about love. It's all about patience. It's all about peace. Thinking peace, praying for peace. This planet and each other is all we have. As in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, this is the interrelated structure of reality. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be, and you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's what we need. This is Jasari's Love. This is my first show with you, February 4th, 2011. And as you go about your evening and your weekend, pause, stop, smell the flowers, think about, are you treating someone in a loving manner? And may peace be with you, and may it all be about love. Tutanana.